meeting will come to order. Secretary informs me that according to the bylaws of the University Senate, due notice of this meeting has been given, and we have a quorum of members in attendance. The first item of business is the approval of the Secretary's Report Number 414 of October 31st, 2024. The report is available in the meeting materials. Are there any corrections to this Secretary's report? Hearing none, the report is approved. Better?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I usually can be heard quite well, so I'm not used to that. I am pleased to preside over today's meeting of the University Senate. President Carter is unable to join us in person today, so I'm delighted to step in. I want to take this opportunity to share a few updates from the Office of Academic Affairs. Our most significant news is that we will joyfully welcome Robbie Bubblekana in January as our next Executive Vice President and Provost. I've had several opportunities to interact with Dr. Bubblekana and have been impressed by his commitment to excellence and his collegial spirit. He's excited to join the Ohio State community and lead our academic enterprise. I look forward to this body having the opportunity to meet incoming Provost Bubblekana in the coming weeks. In other news in the Office of Academic Affairs, we're delighted to welcome Jennifer Schleter to Ohio State as our next Dean and Director of the Ohio State Marion Campus. Some of you may be familiar with Jen, as she was previously a member of Ohio State's theater faculty for 9 years. Her hire rounds out new leadership across Ohio State's four regional campuses. Together, this cohort of new deans will work together to ensure the university is enhancing access and impact across the state. Her term begins on March 17, 2025, and from January 1st until then, John Meharry will serve as Acting Dean and Director at the Marion Campus. John is the Assistant Dean of Academic Opportunities and Professor of Mathematics at Ohio State Marion, and I appreciate his willingness to serve. And I especially want to thank Greg Rose for his 20 years as Dean and Director at the Marion Campus and for his remarkable 4 decades on the faculty. He graciously agreed to delay his well-earned retirement as we search for our next leader of Marion. And as long as we're on leadership searches, we continue to search for the next Dean of the College of Public Health and of the Fisher College of Business. I want to thank Trevor Brown, who is serving as Fisher's interim dean while that search continues. I've been serving as the interim dean of the College of Public Health and will continue to serve in that role after Provost Bubblekana's arrival in January. Last week on Election Day, we piloted our asynchronous day of learning. I applaud the University Senate and the Committee on Enrollment and Student Progress for adopting the resolution to do that last spring. Last week, CESP released an asynchronous learning student survey, which invites students to anonymously submit their feedback so that the committee can examine the impact of that pilot project. And last, I hope you had the opportunity to watch President Carter's investiture as our university's 17th president last Friday. The investiture of a university president is a significant event, and President Carter's ceremony was a wonderful event that I was proud to be part of. I'd also like to express my appreciation for President Carter and his leadership throughout this year. I've enjoyed the opportunity to collaborate with him, and I look forward, along with all of you, to supporting his strategic plan, Education for Citizenship 2035. And thank you to the members of the University Senate for the opportunity to preside over today's meeting. I want to thank each of you for your dedication to Ohio State's academic mission and your commitment to the deeply held principle of shared governance. Thank you.
I'm just gonna jump in for one quick second because this is, of course, Provost Zadnik's last time as sitting here with us as our interim provost, but good news for us, she will be returning to Senate as in her role, her other role that she's been doing at the same time, as interim dean of public health. And as she said, that is an ongoing search process, and she has been somehow doing both of these remarkably complicated jobs at the same time. But I wanted to thank you and encourage all of us to do so for leading us through this difficult and exciting period so ably and making sure that we all knew we were in good hands every day.
All right, so that brings me to today's agenda. As all of you likely know by now, in January, CAA expects to bring a proposal for granting TIU status to the new Chase Center for a vote of the full University Senate. As part of our discussions leading up to that presentation and vote, we're devoting this meeting to presentation, constituent considerations, and a moderated discussion from the floor. We will begin with a presentation from Lee Strang, Executive Director of the Salmon P. Chase Center for Civics, Culture, and Society, and a professor in the Moritz College of Law. Following that presentation, we will have considerations from representatives of our Senate's constituent groups, and Dr. Carolyn Clark, Chair of the Senate Steering Committee, will moderate the discussion. So Lee, we are all yours.
Okay, I just want to quickly thank our guests and make it clear that we have guests. Lee will start us off, and then the reason we have the whole row of suits up here, it looks a little intimidating out here, this has been a process, and we want to make sure that people have the opportunity to hear from Professor Strang about the Senate. So we will start with the same kinds of questions that we asked our guests last month about accessibility and accommodations. And after that, we will have our constituent considerations. I'll invite those folks up to the podium. And then we are really fortunate to have Brandon Lester from the Office of Legal Affairs and Randy Smith from OAA, who also helps shepherd our CAA process, and Trevor Brown, who is the Dean of the John Glenn College of Public Affairs, to help answer questions, because first and foremost, we want this to be a forum in which if we have questions about these things, we can ask them and get them answered. And we can have a good, robust discussion about what happens next around the Chase Center. So first, I want to warmly welcome Lee and invite you up to the podium if that's where you're comfortable, or you can stay right there.
I'm hanging out here, that's all right.
Stay there. Okay. So Lee and I talked a little bit about the meeting prior, and as you know, there's three things we've asked you to address. And I think the first one is, so how does your work at this center, how will it address civics and leadership, and how will it affect student, staff, and faculty at OSU? So can you kick us off with that response?
Thank you, Caroline. Do people hear me adequately? Okay. So thank you so much for the invitation. I'd love to do a conversation like this. It's a great opportunity for me to learn questions that people have and for me to give my current views and thoughts and kind of inside information on the development of the Chase Center into something that my goal is supportive and valuable to the students, faculty of OSU, and to the broader community of Ohio. So the question, as I understood it, had two parts. So one is civic thought and leadership, and then how will the Chase Center with civic thought and leadership connect with students, faculty, and staff? And so on the first part, civic thought and leadership deals with the phenomenon of self-government. And stepping back, I'll just speak for myself, I think of self-government, I take it for granted. I grew up in the United States, we seem to be doing self-government pretty well, we've been around for a long time. Lots of challenges along the way, but we seem to continue to truck along. But in the long scheme of things in human history, self-government's actually very unusual. And so what civic thought and leadership is about is the study, so the academic study, and then the teaching of the conditions within which individuals can govern themselves as free and independent citizens in our pluralistic republic, and as political communities and independent citizens, and especially in our pluralistic republic where we disagree on many important issues, how do we live together to govern ourselves as a political community? And in fact, OSU was founded in a time period where the United States was facing significant challenges in self-government, both as a broader political community, but even as individuals. So thinking back to this period of time when OSU was founded in the post-Bellum era, there was, of course, the lingering deep divisions that were caused by the Civil War that had not yet been remedied. Abraham Lincoln was shot, President Grant failed in trying to heal the nation. But then also, and even more importantly, there were significant immigration for the first time in American history. people who didn't speak English, people who didn't share the conventional religious perspectives, people who didn't know anything about the American Declaration or Constitution. And Ohio State, with its land-grant mission, along with many other land-grant universities around the country, were established precisely for the purpose, among other things, of providing knowledge of this common civic tradition to these new Americans who were coming to the United States. And so the civic thought and leadership component of the Chase Center is trying to identify what are the things that Americans hold in common, this common American civic tradition. It includes documents, so I'm a lawyer, so documents like the Declaration of the Constitution loom large in my mind, but it definitely is not limited to that. It includes art, so great works of literature, so we've got an English professor up here. It includes great works of art otherwise. It includes great leaders. It includes important texts that aren't literature. It includes practices. And one of the key practices that I like to highlight with my students is the practice of debating precisely what is the American civic tradition. And in a corollary to that, whether the American civic tradition is sound or unsound. People criticize it as being fundamentally unsound. So that's civic thought and leadership encapsulated. And then how is the Chase Center going to connect civic thought and leadership with students, staff, and faculty? I think there are five main ways. So the first way, and this is really the vision for the Chase Center, is to create an academic community that is intellectually engaged in the research and teaching of civic thought and leadership, while at the same time creating an affective community where people who are jointly employed in that intellectual engagement come to share fellowship with each other. So it's this, the vision is a wonderful community that's both perfectly at home in an academic community because of the intellectual pursuits, but also is one in which people enjoy each other's company precisely because they're engaged in the same intellectual enterprise. So that's the goal, and then the next four things I'm going to highlight are ways to achieve that goal. So one way to achieve that goal is going to be through public-facing programming. And we've actually done some work on the public-facing programming. Right now it's just me and an assistant, but we've had the time to be able to do that. And the reason why I wanted to focus on public-facing programming is it's a concrete way for people to see how the mission of the Chase Center is implemented in a way that's faithful to the mission and one that I think people will hopefully see as attractive to the students, faculty, and staff of OSU. I'll just highlight three of them. I'll mention them and just maybe say a few words about each one of them. So the kickoff of that is going to be a conversation of presidents, for university presidents, on civic thought and leadership in a modern research university. It's going to include President Ron Daniels from Johns Hopkins University, who wrote a book a couple of years ago, What Universities of Democracy, very important book. And one key part of it was the claim that Johns Hopkins, the first research university in the United States, had to have a component of what it offered its students, civic thought and leadership. And then President Carter is also going to be part of the conversation here at OSU about, from the perspective of a public modern research university, what role, if any, does civic thought and leadership have? And what I think that exemplifies a couple of facets. One is this important conversation of OSU's motto is education for citizenship, and how is that compatible with, is it in tension with, the research commitments of OSU? Second, the conversational format, I think, models the kind of civil debate and dialogue that the Chase Center wants to promote, both internally and then throughout the university and throughout the state. Second, we're going to host the first ever Ohio Civic Center Summit. So there are five state-creating civic centers, but there are, I now found, 15 civic centers at public and private universities around the state. They've never gotten together. We don't actually know what everybody does. This will be the first time for people to get together to learn what each group does, learn from each other, potentially collaborate into the future. Third, we'll kick off our Chase Lecture Series. This is actually something that was started over 10 years ago at Georgetown Law Center. They're discontinuing it, and we're going to bring it to OSU. And the Chase Lecture Series will initially start off about Selwyn P. Chase, which most people, if you're like me, don't know a whole lot about Selwyn P. Chase, or at least I didn't know a whole lot about Selwyn P. Chase. The first year, we'll talk about Chase as a model of civic engagement. He was a senator, he was a governor, he was an abolitionist lawyer, he was in Lincoln's cabinet, he was the Chief Justice of the United States. He lived a full civic life. And then we'll move after next academic year to conversations about civic thought and leadership. The last thing I want to highlight is next year, the Chase Center is going to host the first national conference on civic thought and leadership. It's going to invite scholars from all over the country and all over the world from their different disciplinary perspectives to dive into the subject from a scholarly perspective of civic thought and leadership. So that's programming. We'll also have a robust student program. And the inside of the student program is an invitation to students to come and be part of that academic community that I described earlier, to come in and join in the weekly events that we'll have, to come to the public-facing programming programs that we'll have, We'll cap it off, the student program, with a study abroad experience. Our conversations right now are with Oxford University. We've spent weeks over at Oxford learning about some aspect of how the American Civic Tradition was influenced by the predecessor tradition in a great place from across the country. Courses. So civic body and leadership, the goal is to complement existing courses at OSU, but to not duplicate them. And so one of the goals that I've had in my conversations with now over 70 faculty, administrators, and staff is to learn what are the good things that are going on at OSU and to learn how does the Chase Center fit in the existing ecosystem. So one example of a course that we want to offer is the American Civic Tradition. It's related to history. It's related to economics, it's related to political science, but it's not any one of those things. It will draw from all of those different disciplinary perspectives to provide students access to this common civic tradition that I had mentioned earlier. And then lastly, faculty, research, and scholarships. The faculty that will join the Chase Center will be their own tenure-track faculty, who will be whose goals will be twofold, implementing the Chase Center's mission in a faithful way, and number two, to enhance the research profile of OSU, and for that lab component, we'll have our own internal workshop series, which will have other faculty as well. We'll have workshop exchanges with other units in OSU and around the country. In fact, I have a conversation with somebody over at Oxford right now to do a workshop exchange with one of their units over there. And we'll have our annual symposium that I had mentioned earlier. So we're going to really focus a lot of resources, including human resources and time, on research and scholarship. So the connections are between this academic community and the faculty, students, and staff.
Thanks. That sounds exciting and ambitious. So my second question then is maybe you could talk to us about some key pieces of information that you would like to clarify around the Chase Center as it's established here at OSU.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. And so this is one of the, I really appreciate Caroline asking that question because it gives me a chance to things that I've heard or people have said about the Chase Center, it gives me a chance to respond to them and then invite further conversation from you today and in the future. So if there's some question that I don't answer, that we don't answer today, you've got my email, just look me up. Okay, got it, thank you. Just look me up and then I'm happy to try to answer the question via email, have a phone call, or have a meeting with you. So let me identify, let's see.
You're doing great.
Okay, and I'm just seeing how much time I've got.
A long time.
Okay, let me identify six things, how about that? So the first thing is I think it's important to keep in mind that there are many audiences that OSU has. And if anybody's been following the Gallup polling about Americans' views on higher education, one of the really disappointing aspects has been that large swaths of Americans, all different perspectives, have begun to lose trust in higher education. There's lots of reasons for that. Some reasons I agree with, some reasons I don't, and I'm sure we all agree or disagree with some more of those reasons. But the reality of the declining perception of trust is a real phenomenon. And it makes it harder for us to serve our constituents. It makes it harder for us to live out our mission of serving the students and families and other audiences in Ohio and elsewhere. And the Chase Center is a concrete way to rebut some of those perceptions. Right? The Chase Center is a concrete way to say that you have a perception about OSU as being close-minded or being one-sided or whatever the perception is. And by embracing and integrating the Chase Center into the broader OSU ecosystem, it's a concrete way to say to all of those audiences, students, families, the General Assembly, anybody else, that is not a true impression of OSU. And in fact, it's not the impression that I've gotten from my many, many conversations with people from all over the university. It's been really an enriching experience getting to learn about all the different programming and classes and scholarship that people engage in. Second, I would just highlight the Chase Center has significant support within the university. So one of the things that I've come across is the ways in which the Chase Center can complement what's being offered, and there are some gaps that are being offered. So just one among many conversations that I've had with many different departments has been, are there areas in your field of study that you have a gap in because of, let's say, budget constraints or some other, you just can't find the right people? And many, many departments have said, yes, there are these key areas that we don't have somebody, and we'd like to have a conversation with you about if you come across somebody who's in that area, we'd like to talk about doing a joint hire. Or maybe you'll offer a class that could complement, maybe fill in partially some of the gaps that we have. So those are the kind of conversations that I've had and that I invite from you all in your different departments. Third, I would highlight that the Chase Center has significant and growing resources. So the Chase Center right now, we've basically expended no money up until this year, and so we have significant resources that are in the bank, so to speak. The conversations that I've had suggest that the support from the state of Ohio is not just going to continue, but it's going to increase. The Chase Center, like other academic units, is working to do development. So I'm happy to report that we have our first donations already. I actually just got back from a meeting with potential donors last night from Philadelphia, so I anticipate there being significant more resources that are given to the Chase Center. We're working on grants. We have our first grant that we received, and the grant's going to support the Ohio Civic Center conference that we're going to be doing in the spring, because there's lots of folks out there who are interested in the civics education space and are willing to put resources behind that. And then lastly, there'll be tuition. So as the Chase Center slowly grows into offering classes, it will have some tuition resources as well. The fourth item that I would identify would be that the goal of the Chase Center is to become part of, an integral part of the OSU ecosystem. It's not to silo itself off. There's lots of different ways to do civic centers, and some of them are in a more siloed way, and some of them are more integrated. And our goal is to be on the integrated end of the spectrum. In fact, that's what this process really is about. It's an attempt by the Chase Center to say, we want to be an integrated and integral part of the OSU academic community. And so coming to the University faculty the University Senate for a conversation about how to make that happen and being open and transparent and offering opportunities for the questions that you all have. And it's been paying dividends already. So just to give you a couple examples, the Chase Center is partnering with the Center for Human Resource Research to do a study of, among other things, the knowledge and perspective of Ohioans on civics education in higher ed in Ohio. The Chase Center is partnering with the law school to sponsor a symposium next spring on an aspect of the Constitution. So there's been lots of conversations, and some of them are already bearing fruit, and we're looking forward to more of that. The Chase Center, the Chase Faculty Fellows Program is an opportunity for existing faculty in units from around the university to come and participate in the Chase Center's academic life in a more robust way. It can be through offering a class, it can be through sponsoring a program. So I have this vision for a speaker. Can the Chase Center partner with me on that? It can also be partnering in the student program. So we'll have multiple events, we'll need people to participate in those events, and maybe somebody wants to be participate in that way. I actually just met, so I've been one of the groups, I've been meeting with lots of groups. I met with the staff, Tuesday. I'm forgetting when it was, sorry about that. And one of the things that I learned from every one of the meetings, but one thing I learned was that what the staff would really appreciate would be non-credit bearing certificates. So certificates on different aspects of civic leadership. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but what we'll do is offer those on, especially during the lunchtime, virtually, and they can be in person as well, but virtually, so that way the staff are able to be enriched by the civic leadership knowledge that the Chase Center is bringing. Fifth, the Chase Center's goal is to not duplicate, it's to complement existing offerings. So I've worked really hard to try and find, and I know one of the things I appreciate about Trevor and Randy and Brandon is that even before I got here, they had done a survey of courses dealing with leadership, courses dealing with civic thought, to help me kind of get a feel for the lay of the land. And then now I've been in person working hand in glove with the existing departments to find out what it is they're doing and what can we do to assist, but not to replicate what they're doing. And if you think about what the Chase Center is trying to do, it's not trying to do history or political science or economics. What the Chase Center is trying to do is bring a multidisciplinary perspective of all those different disciplines and others on the subject of self-government, individual and community self-government. And so what that allows us to do is to complement and draw from the existing departments and disciplines, but not to duplicate or replicate what it is they're doing. And the last thing I would say is origins, not destiny. So many people might have a skepticism, oh, the Chase Center came out of legislation and therefore it's going to be colored. Its approach to the classes and the programming and the hiring are going to be colored by that. And what I would invite, and this is one of the reasons why I had sent earlier to Caroline, thank you, for passing out, was a summary of the statutory mission. And that statutory mission is a mission that, in my experience, people of all different perspectives find really attractive and persuasive, especially at this moment in American history. And the goal for the Chase Center is to faithfully implement that mission in a way that people find indeed attractive. And that's my commitment as an individual, but also in this position, is to faithfully implement that mission in a way that people find attractive. So that was six, Caroline. Mm-hmm.
Yes, good counting.
And we really appreciate that, and really appreciate your conversation about self-government and also our commitment to shared governance. And so my last question before we turn it over to our constituents is, how might the University Senate best support efforts in these areas from your point of view? And I guess thinking about like how you see the Chase Center relative to our work here, which is a deep commitment to shared governance, which includes faculty, staff, students across the grade bands and degree areas, and administrators.
So shared governance is something that I hear a lot about. It's one of the reasons why I'm here. So I think there's an alternative universe where the Chase Center could go its own way and try to do whatever it wanted. And there may be some value in that, but what it would do is it would permanently harm the Chase Center's ability to flourish and enrich OSU. And so I've taken the exact opposite approach, which is to come and have conversations with literally anybody who wants to have a conversation, including with the University Senate as a governing body, to persuade you, to invite you to partner with the Chase Center so that way the Chase Center can become a valuable component of the overall university. And so my asks would be twofold. One would be to have a charitable interpretation, right? So one of the goals that I try to have as a person is that when I encounter people, even people with whom I may have reasons to disagree with, I try to have a charitable interpretation of them, unless I have a really strong reason not to. And so what I would ask of you is to withhold judgment about whether or, I mean, of course, if you think the Chase Center is valuable now, that's great, but watch the implementation of the Chase Center, watch its rollout, and you look at the programming, you look at the classes, you look at the research and scholarship that are offered, and you say, well, that seems really valuable to OSU, and you know, there could be an alternative world where it didn't go that way, but in the actual world, the way it's going to go is going to be enriching to OSU. And so have a charitable interpretation, and then presume good faith by the Chase Center, and then if and when it happens, then that's the reward. And if not, then take a different route at the end of the day. And the second related thing I would ask would be that if people come to you with concerns or questions and you don't have information to share with them, please send them my way. So I've cut an email, I get lots of emails, and I set up a lot of meetings to have one-on-one conversations, because what I found is that the individual conversations with fellow people is really valuable. It's really valuable to me. It's really valuable to share information.
Thanks so much. And we really value you being here. I appreciate your time. And now you get to stop for a few minutes and listen to some of your constituents. And we're very fortunate to have a group of our students, staff, and faculty. Today we're going to mix it up just a little bit, and we're going to start with Andrew Miles, who is a doctoral student in plant pathology, and he is here to just share some thoughts from the perspective of the Council of Graduate Students. So, Andrew.
Good afternoon, faculty, staff, students, and administrators. My name is Andrew Miles, and I serve on CAA, URC, and CGS. Today, I would like to share some thoughts that we, the graduate students at OSU, hope will improve the Chase Center as it serves students and the broader OSU community. To start, the center shows promise in offering a wide range of courses, programs, and public engagement initiatives that can empower the OSU graduate students to become more informed and engaged members of society. As it relates to graduate students, there appears to be many opportunities for research, education, teaching, and programming that could enhance our academic experience. However, the current proposal lacks a clear outline of the roles graduate students will play within the center. It is crucial to have a strategic, comprehensive, and transparent plan for graduate student involvement, particularly when this constituency will vote on a proposal with direct implications for them. With student programming set to launch in autumn 2025, details regarding graduate student engagement should be clarified before the Senate's vote. As the Center will operate outside of the university's standard rules and policies, it would be prudent to clarify how it plans to accommodate GRAs and GTAs, especially given the nuances of a center functioning similarly to a department in a student program. Additionally, many of our graduate students are international students who bring in valuable perspectives and experiences, enriching the intellectual rigor of both classroom and outside of the classroom discussions. This population of students is eager to engage in something like comparative studies and U.S. civics, embracing the diversity of conversations and aligning with the center's mission. We look forward to more information about the role of international students within the Chase Center. Furthermore, graduate students have questions regarding the development of courses, involvement of educational specialists, and consultation with faculty when creating curriculum. In the spirit of shared governance, we hope curriculum development is a collaborative effort rather than the work of a single individual or small group. This will settle some of our concerns about political neutrality in course content. Furthermore, these courses and degree/certificate programs should equip students with skills applicable to the current job market. We would like to know what job and research opportunities might be associated with these programs within the Chase Center. The proposal clearly currently lacks a clear structure for accountability to graduate students, and more broadly, all students. The center's oversight framework includes three tiers: the Faculty Advisory Committee, the Academic Council, and the Oversight Committee. While the Academic Council members have already been pre-selected, we ask, where will students, grad, undergrad, and professional, be included in the oversight framework? Our university, again, values shared governance, and a center focused on civics, government, and leadership should reflect the importance of inclusive representation, especially with those with less power. Additionally, it is concerning that the center's bylaws will not be available until academic year 2025-2026, after the vote on permanent center status. How can we ensure these bylaws will serve the university's needs, and what recourse do we, the constituents, have to amend them if they do not align with our current expectations? After reviewing the proposal, graduate students have voiced concerns. However, we are optimistic that the center can impact the university and graduate students' experiences positively if issues are addressed. I must state that the concerns of graduate students at this time exceed our optimism, and I urge leadership to address the concerns of all constituency groups as presented today and in other venues in a well-documented and dialectical manner, for example, by adapting the proposal. Graduate students would much prefer this over spoken words alone. However, we are eager to contribute to curriculum development, program planning, and the center's oversight to ensure meaningful opportunities for all our fellow graduate students. We hope to see a commitment to addressing these areas of concern, and we look forward to collaborating with Dr. Strang and his team to create opportunities that truly embody OSU's motto, Education for Citizenship. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Next, we're going to hear from Tyson Montgomery. Tyson is a doctoral student in optometry, and he is here to represent the Interprofessional Council, which is our Council of Graduate Students in our professional colleges.
Thank you, everyone, for letting me be here to talk on behalf of the professional student body. So yeah, I'm Tyson Montgomery. I serve as the president for the Interprofessional Council, and we had the pleasure of actually meeting with Professor Strang a few weeks ago to kind of talk about what potentially the role the Chase Center could play for professional students, which, hearing about it, at first we were a little bit skeptical in the fact that we weren't sure where this would fit into the professional student curriculum with our time in the classroom, clinic rotations, things like that. We didn't know where this could fit in terms of whether it could serve as elective courses or certificates. Additional concern that we had was, you know, for on the professional student side, we essentially live off of student loans. There's kind of some high concerns in terms of affordability But I would say the professor Strang did a really good job of kind of hearing us out on what some of our concerns were, trying to be open about looking at potentially what the roles for the civic discourse and some of the leadership courses could do, maybe potentially in terms of a certificate that would essentially help provide some of the students as a way to kind of set themselves apart from other programs. So one thing that we kind of pulled away from the meeting is that something that the Chase Center could potentially do in supporting professional students is allowing them to have something that not only gives them a useful tool that allows them to connect with their communities, with what it means to be an American and things like that, along with having something that they can add to their resume when it comes to things like residencies and post-grad education. That, you know, Ohio State does set a very high standard that makes all of their students competitive in those categories, but usually in terms of being someone to get that higher level post-grad education, you need something that sets yourself, that sets you apart from other members. And I think there is a way that the Chase Center could play a role in potentially providing that, and we discussed pretty heavily potentially a role that a certification process could do that would allow students to be kind of involved at their own level, so essentially preventing students from maybe stretching themselves too thin and providing them comfortability in terms of getting involved in this. But obviously the concerns on our part is we don't want something being brought to the university that essentially those professional students don't feel like they can have access to. And so while those concerns are still there, I do think Professor Strang did a good job of at least laying out some potential ideas that we could play with moving forward. So yeah, we kind of look forward to seeing how the Senate can support you guys, and then what any other questions that the professional students have, and that we can work with you as we kind of set forth the groundwork moving forward. Thank you all.
Thank you, Tyson. Next up, we have Bobby McGavin, and Bobby is the undergraduate student government president and a urban and regional planning major.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much again for having me. Professor Strang, we really, really appreciate you for being here and everyone here for just all the work that you all are putting in. I know that this is, you know, I just want to make sure that I am honest with, you know, how different this is. You know, I believe you've been put in a very, very tough situation where, you know, it was, thrust upon the university to make this, and, you know, this is something that's not really been done before. But the fact that you're here and you're listening to all of our concerns, all of our thoughts and things like that, that's a testament to, like you said, consumption versus destiny. You know, so I do really appreciate that. We want to make sure that the student body's diverse perspectives and needs are taken into consideration consistently. So just making sure that, even after this center is fully made so and fully ingrained into the university, there is some level of accountability and some level of, you know, continued partnership with students, just kind of like what the graduate students were talking about when it comes to continuing to make more programming, continuing to make more classes, and course structure and other things, just making sure that, you know, once it's done, you know, the collaboration between students and the center are done, you know what I mean? The second thing we would like to talk about is various micro-credentials and certificates that can be offered by the center. One of the number one things that myself and my vice president, Jessica Robinson, heard when we were running for president and vice president is that students really, really value micro-credentials. And, you know, that's just an extra bump to our resume. So just like Tyson was talking about, you know, trying to, I really do think that this center will be an awesome opportunity for students to be able to, you know, take minor classes or just, you know, take other classes to get those certificates, get those minor, bumps on our resume to set us apart from students, you know, elsewhere in the Big Ten or elsewhere in the country. A third thing, just addressing campus leadership and how Ohio State is one of the only major institutions that does not offer a class or class credit for leadership when it comes to, like, you know, campus leadership. A lot of times with things like student government, things like, you know, the activities board and other leaderships on campus, other universities actually offer course credit when it comes to, you know, folks that are in higher positions in those things, because it truly is a learning experience, and it is an experiential learning experience. So I feel like this center, you know, even in collaboration with Education and Human Ecology and leadership over there, could really make courses and make classes when it comes to students that are involved and that are having that experiential learning. And then the fourth thing is just, we would just like to continue the collaboration. We do appreciate you for treating us to dinner one night, and the senior staff. My senior staff really enjoyed the conversation. But like I said, just continuing that collaboration going forward. We feel that the overall mission of the Chase Center will bring a lot of great value to the university if done correctly and if done collaboratively. So we appreciate you for starting off collaboratively, and we really hope that it will continue that way. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Bobby. Next up, from our University Staff Advisory Council, we have Ramsey. I was saying
Piazza.
It's the, yes. I always want to say Piazza. Piazza. I should know this by now, Ramsey.
So first, I'm going to start by apologizing. I'm not a contortionist, so I can't read my comments and look at all of you at the same time. So I apologize for having my back to you. And I'll start out by saying, traditionally, the establishment of academic centers at the university are not a topic staff are usually engaged on. The issues we most actively comment on are compensation and benefits, childcare, parking, and did I mention parking? All that said, we welcome the opportunity to comment on issues besides our standard fare. We appreciate the University Senate for developing this format and allowing us to engage more fully in the conversations and discussions that shape our institution. We want to be treated as full partners in this grand enterprise, so you will always find USAC and the Staff Senate Caucus willing and able to comment on issues far and wide. Regarding the Solomon P. Chase Center, our consideration is towards how it might positively impact staff. In reviewing Professor Strang's memo outlining the mission summary of the center and its possible programming and course subject matter, we would say many staff might find this interesting and look to explore these topics. True civic discourse is valuable. We expect the first courses to be at the undergraduate level. That's not an area where staff generally seek to expand their education. Given the regular commitment of a class, staff tend to seek coursework that will help them grow their professional standing. Should the center move into graduate level work, that would likely be of more interest to staff. However, we would point out that intellectual curiosity is not lacking among us. We just need the opportunities to be packaged in a compact model. To that end, we would advocate for the center to consider certificate programs, which have provided many staff with an avenue to add a formal credential to their resumes, and has also served as good precursors to those considering graduate work. To this point, I would point to John Glenn having a good catalog of certificates that many staff have used towards that end. Lunch and learns could be a method to distill some of the topics the center wishes to address in a condensed format that allows staff to engage on a short-term basis. We would encourage the center to consider ways it can engage staff. After all, we are a foundational part of this university. Responsible leadership and informed citizenship, values the center wishes to reinforce, starts by recognizing all who contribute to your greater community. I will conclude with this point. As a part of my doctoral work in higher education administration, I wrote a number of course papers on the litigation around affirmative action and admissions. I understand the arguments of opportunity that underpin those policies. In my studies, I paid particular attention to the opinions of Antonin Scalia, Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. I did that specifically because I did not hold the same positions as Justice Scalia. I read those opinions to understand a perspective different than my own. If the center embraces a philosophy of listen to understand, not to respond, then it can be a great service to all. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you for always giving me a chance to laugh just a little bit at Senate on your comments, because I appreciate that. Finally, we have Sarah Watson, who is the chair of Faculty Council, who has some considerations from the faculty.
Can you hear me? Good afternoon. Over the past several months, faculty senators have engaged in a series of thoughtful conversations about how to vote on the approval of the CHASE Act. Some among us have supported a principled, if symbolic, no vote on the grounds that the CHASE Center is being imposed from above based on faulty premises. In this view, a no vote would convey our collective belief that the legislative justification for the center, that teaching and research at Ohio State is ideologically biased rather than evidence-based, is one that we, the faculty, reject. Others among us, while also rejecting this view of our faculty, have advocated for a more forward-looking approach, and this now seems to be the consensus view. Thus, despite the unique way in which the CHASE Center came to be, our faculty conversation has turned to sharing ideas about how it can operate within our shared values and norms of excellence, and ultimately become a thriving intellectual center dedicated to something we all support, cultivating education for citizenship. With this in mind, we've deliberated around several areas of implementation that we believe will be integral to the center's success. The first relates to the CHASE Center's unique status as a TIU. There's a strong sentiment among faculty that we must maintain our existing high disciplinary standards for the appointment, promotion, and tenure of faculty. While recognizing that the law indicates that, quote, no faculty outside of the center shall have the authority to block faculty hires into the center, our faculty encourage Professor Stray to consult and collaborate with OSU colleagues with relevant disciplinary expertise from across the university while making hires. Another area of concern relates to due process for faculty hired into the CHASE Center, given that it will exist outside of our typical structures. For example, some have asked how P&T oversight or how O4 and O5 investigations will work given that CHASE is not associated with a college. Due process is an important part of safeguarding academic freedom, so we believe these are important questions to clarify as we move forward. Faculty have also discussed themes around curriculum, and here have expressed a general desire to hold the center's curricular activities to the same rigorous processes and standards to which we all subscribe. We appreciate the fact that Professor Strang is following the university's established practices for center approval, which offer important checks on quality, and encourage a similar approach for future curricular developments. Finally, faculty have expressed concerns about the fiscal sustainability of the center. Given the limited state appropriations thus far, it's unclear how the center can commit to supporting the faculty and other necessary staff that it has been charged to hire. This is important because, unlike other centers on campus, the legislation states that, quote, not fewer than 15 tenure-track faculty positions shall be allotted to teach under the center. In our discussions, there was broad support for CAA and the Senate Fiscal Committee to help establish financially responsible guardrails as we work to stand up the center. I'm sure my colleagues will elaborate on these themes during the open discussion, and I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak on behalf of the faculty.
Thank you, Sarah. I know there are questions in the chat, and I have no doubt that hands will be flying up momentarily, but I just wanted to take 1 minute because a lot of things got stated in those opening constituent considerations. So if anybody amongst you has anything to add at this moment in time before we open it for broader dialogue, anything you heard that you want to comment on, please do.
Caroline, if I don't mind.
Yeah, go.
So lots of very valid comments, and I won't be able to respond to all of them, but there are a couple of things that I wanted to highlight. One theme that I've heard a couple of times was about curricular development, and so one of the goals of the CHASE Center has been to work with, so the CHASE Center has no faculty, So work with existing faculty in the relevant disciplinary areas that are adjacent to civic body leadership in developing the Chase Center's curriculum, going through the existing process that OSU has, which allows for conversation and collaboration with partners. Accountability. So the Chase Center, I report to Carla, and we'll be reporting to other people pretty soon. Welcome the opportunity to give regular reports to the University Senate. The Chase Center is required to give reports to the Board of Trustees. I've given a number of reports. I've given a report to the relevant Board of Trustees committee. We'll continue to do that. So I welcome other opportunities to give updates and receive feedback from the University Senate as a whole, or components of the University Senate, and other people might know more about those particular components. One question or one request was for continued collaboration. I think, for example, Bobby had been mentioned regarding students. So my goal would be to continue to meet regularly as student groups and individuals or groups want to continue to meet with the Chase Center to see is the Chase Center providing as much value as it can to different student groups. And I mean that kind of more generally as well. So for example, we're currently in the process of hiring our assistant directors. Assistant directors are non-tenure track faculty. And what I've done is reached out to 12 or 15 faculty who have volunteered from different disciplines adjacent to Chase to participate in the interview process to give their feedback. And so I think that is another example of the collaboration that the Chase Center wishes to do and will continue to do. Due process. I'm a huge believer in due process. And so the Chase Center, I assume the process is going to be, this is something that people can comment on, the Chase Center will adopt its own internal rules governing due process, governing the protections of academic freedom. I assume, actually to save time, there'll be a lot of cutting and pasting of other units to be able to do that. And so that's something that the Chase Center is actually statutorily committed to respecting people's academic freedom. And so we want to do that deeply. So I guess those are my few comments and welcome other feedback.
I'm going to look around the room to see if there are any hands. I have a few comments that are in the chat, so I'm going to hand it over here to Professor Ashley Hill-Perez, and then we will kick off the audience discussion.
Hi, my name is Ashley Hill-Perez. I appreciate the chance to be in dialogue. Professor Strang, I wanted to return to your remarks about a generosity in receiving folks' plans, and I've really appreciated hearing you speak about your intentions and being quite open about why it is that some of us might have concerns, the other ways that things can play out. University of Florida is quite a concerning instance, and I think that one question that's weighing on many of our minds is what are the ways in which we as faculty can know both that we are free to affiliate with the Chase Center, but also free not to affiliate with the Chase Center. I just want to put a pin in that and just thank you for your honesty and acknowledging that as a real concern for us, that question of how else it could go. But returning to the point of generosity, I think that what I would like to ask is that how can the Chase Center and its leadership be demonstrating a full commitment to the processes that we are, the CAA is the big step that we're in, and what does it look like to see those robust and thorough processes as a mark of our generosity to the Chase Center in wanting to see an excellent unit, an excellent center, an excellent program. And I think that though we all understand the desire for speed, and that's something that has come up in the sponsors' comments about the centers, I think that healthy growth is often slower growth. Healthy planning is often slower planning, and I'm curious what your thoughts are about how a robust and careful establishment of the center might be most in line with your goals of good integration with our community. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Caroline, do I respond now or do I wait?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, thank you for those questions and thank you for the charitable way in which you provided them. So feel free to follow up if I don't adequately respond to the comments that you have articulated. So one aspect of the questions or issues that you identified was how do we know long-term to what degree will the Chase Center continue to participate in a collaborative process? And I guess one thing I can do is that's our goal, and I'm doing all the things that one could do at this stage in the Chase Center's development that would be collaborative. So I can't really think of anything else that would be more collaborative than what we're already doing. We're meeting with as many people as we can. Participating in all the processes that we can do that as well. One thing on the point of effective growth versus quick growth, there's lots of constituencies that value the Chase Center. So my mandate from the Board of Trustees is to offer undergraduate education and not like 5 years down the road, but relatively quickly. And so the goal that I have is the goal that's been given to me to stand up the Chase Center, including faculty hiring, by having enough faculty by the fall of 25 to be able to offer some classes. Not a full-blown curriculum by any stretch, but be able to offer some classes to show concrete movement towards that ultimate goal that's been given to me by the Board of Trustees and by the statute. And I don't think, this is the second time at this rodeo for me, and the Institute of American Constitutional Thought, which we stood up at the University of Toledo, had a similar statutory mandate, and we were able to hire faculty, we were able to begin offering classes a year after the center had started. We offered a variety of robust and really attractive programming, and we started the student program a year after the beginning of the Institute. And so I'm confident it's able to be done because I've seen it being able to be done. OSU is a much larger institution. Chase Center aspires to be much larger as well. So I don't think it would be longer for us to be fully fleshed out than, let's say, at the Institute, but we're able to make some concrete positive steps in a shorter term than years out.
May I clarify? I think that an instance of the question, it's not about collaboration, but accountability. Let's see, there we go. So just a clarification, I think one thing that I've heard a lot of faculty concerned about is how do we have a scheduled vote when CAA hasn't finished reviewing the proposal? Oh, I understand, but what often CAA has feedback for centers that includes revision or efforts to more fully develop certain areas. And so I think that's one, you know, one question. I wonder, are you open to taking more time with the proposal if there's feedback that calls for that? Thanks.
Yeah, for free to let other CA experts weigh in on this, but my two cents on that are, I'm meeting with the CA folks tomorrow morning. They already have given me a significant amount of feedback. Before I came to this meeting, I was thinking, okay, what are the ways to modify the proposal to meet the issues that were identified by the CA. So I perceive us as working through that process right now.
Can I just
say?
Yeah,
please do.
So it's in committee, the subcommittee of CAA, that's five CAA members. It's on, sorry. It's in subcommittee now, five members of CAA, and we added a representative from the University Research Committee, and we added a representative, thanks to the faculty cabinet, of the fiscal committee. So seven people are now reviewing that over the next few weeks. And they themselves, as committee members, had questions already already for me to respond to. The fact that we're here today, that faculty council has had a chance to talk with him earlier, there is still time for you, and several members of the CAA are in the audience today, including the chair of the subcommittee that's reviewing it, Carla Kessler from engineering. So, you know, we're here to listen to that, and if there's any input, come back to your council on academic affairs and use the chair, Sue Southern, who's also here today, to provide that input before they vote.
Hi, my name is Brian Rocha. I'm a PhD candidate in theater, film, and media arts. Thank you, Professor Strang, for being here today and speaking to us. I'm going to speak for myself personally here as a senator. I'm very concerned about the center and some of what I've been reading in centers across America that are set up in a similar way. So my question that I have for you is, I know you mentioned reporting duties, and I wonder what the reporting duties and the relationship will be between the center and the legislature. I've seen the Ohio legislature be openly hostile, I think, towards a lot of students and faculty in the last year or so, and that's something that definitely concerns me, especially when so much money is being poured into the center, and many graduate students, graduate associates, are surviving at around $2,000 a month, you know, to live and pay for housing and food, and people go hungry. So it is definitely a huge problem, and I'm very, you know, skeptical about the legislature and dumping a lot of money into this program where I don't fully see the utility of it yet myself, and I'm very concerned about that. So what is the relationship with the legislature going to be, and what are your required reporting duties and powers that you have to them?
Thanks for that question, and it goes back to an earlier comment that I had made about origin not being destiny. And so the sole reporting duty that the Chase Center has is to provide an annual report to the Board of Trustees and to the General Assembly, and which we'll do, it'll be publicly available, and it'll talk, we're required to talk about the opportunities that we had over the year. We're required to talk about the advances that we made in securing the mission, and we're required to talk about the obstacles that the Chase Center had faced. And so that's the only reporting requirement. I don't report to anybody, I don't report to anybody in the General Assembly, I report to folks at OSU. I'm a longtime academic, I've written a lot, I care a lot about the academic enterprise, and so I value the integrity of the academic enterprise, and my personal implementation of the mission is going to be how I best see in the ecosystem of OSU living out that mission.
Thank you so much for coming here to talk to us. I'm really grateful for Brian's comment, and actually just focusing on the legislature. One of the things that concerns me personally is that the co-sponsor of this legislation, of SB 117, is the same as its sponsors, SB 83, which is still trying to make its way through the legislature. And for all we know, may be successful. That legislation is actively hostile to faculty. It is trying to limit, I think, faculty say, and it's also trying to have a say in curriculum. And so I'm concerned that these two things seem tied to me. And so I wonder, too, if we could go back to put it in more concrete terms that I think speaks to your goodwill and what you want to do with the center here, and go back to that Florida example, which is a very recent example that I think is concerning for us, because it took protocols like curricular concurrence and the question of duplication, and it used them for it argued that faculty needed to be investigated when they were putting up obstruction, particularly, for instance, when you need to give a legislative report. It talks about obstacles. So I'm just wondering if you could speak to, maybe the way pinpointed is speak to the Florida example. What are your thoughts on that? Or anything that I've said. And I appreciate
it. Thank you for that question. And so what Jill is referring to is that one of the co-sponsors of the legislation that created five of the city centers around Ohio has also been the sponsor of SB 83, which is has different colloquial labels, but one of its effects or one of its goals is to influence conduct in classrooms. And so what I would ask people to do is look at the legislation that created the Chase Center and the other centers. There's nothing in there that I see that is anything like SB 83. There are many aspects of SB 83 that I don't perceive as sound for a variety of reasons. And so it's not something that I'm attracted to personally. And so the mission of the Chase Center in some ways is antithetical to SB 83. So it requires us to, for example, in our programming, in our classes, to uplift academic freedom, to encourage people to come to their own informed conclusions. And to the extent that one thinks SB 83 is different than that, then we are different than that. What Jill's referring to is there was a recent article in the Chronicle, I think probably, dealing with the Hamilton Center, which is a civic center down in Florida that's been around for a little while. And people can come to their own conclusions on who was acting bad in that scenario. What I'm here today to do is to act good, right? To have all of us act as partners in uplifting OSU, providing new resources and new opportunities to students and faculty, and to avoid situations like the Hamilton Center, not just, I mean, internal to OSU, but as I mentioned earlier, right, the Gallup polling is definitive that a lot of Americans are concerned about higher education, and including Ohioans. Or actually, one of the reasons why I'm partnering with the CHRR is to find out what are Ohioans' views on that point, and more precisely. And one way to avoid any, if people are concerned about intrusions in higher ed, one way to, I think, definitively avoid further intrusions is to say, hey, see how we're integrating the Chase Center, which values academic freedom and persons coming to their own informed conclusions. That's a concrete way to put the lie to other perspectives on higher education.
Hello, Professor Schneider. I'm Jesse Quick, a senator from the College of Arts and Sciences. And I have two questions about faculty governance and transparency. So given the language of House Bill 33, which states that the director, you, shall oversee, develop, and approve the center's curriculum, I was wondering if you can clarify whether or not the Chase Center will follow the Office of Academic Affairs' current curricular evaluation and approval processes, which includes seeking concurrence, given that the legislature has mandated that you don't have to follow those rules. So will you follow those rules?
I shouldn't shut this off. Thank you for that question. And so, putting my lawyer hat on for a second, this is not legal advice or random. What I would say is that the legislation gives the Chase Center different categories of authority. It doesn't mandate the Chase Center exercise the authority to its full extent. And so my judgment is, and this is the reason why I'm here, is to try to integrate the Chase Center into the broader OSU ecosystem, including through the curricular process.
So you will follow the process?
We are following the process.
Okay, thank you. And then my second one is, when you spoke to us last time and today, you mentioned that you've already been receiving grants and donations, and congratulations on that. I'm wondering if now and in the future, if you will actually make the sources of both gifts and grants publicly available and accessible.
I don't know exactly when things become publicly available, but they are all publicly available. So it's there's nobody hiding any balls.
Great. Thank you very much.
Can I just say to your first question, it is the expectation of the Office of Academic Affairs that we can go follow the established curriculum review process for both courses and for programs.
Hello, Justin Robinson, Vice President for the Graduate Student Government. Thank you guys for being here. Quick question, how will the Chase Center interact with John Glenn College of Public Affairs?
So far, very cordially. No, more seriously, Dean Brown has just been incredible, not just in what is going on today, but even is helping do the temporary center status application. You know, he's running his own show, and all of a sudden he has to write this temporary application for something called the Chase Center. And so he's been incredibly thoughtful in helping the Chase Center mature and integrate itself into the OSU curriculum, into the OSU ecosystem. And we have had conversations, and there are ongoing conversations about in what ways can the Chase Center and the Glenn College work together in programs, faculty hiring, and other things.
Yeah, I would just affirm that. And I appreciate the concern and the question, but as I think Lee has demonstrated, both here on the stage today and from the moment we hired him, consummate collaborator, and that is an ethos of the Glenn College. We seek to be an integrator and a connector. I think the space here in civics at Ohio State University has lots of participants, but I see the way Lee is approaching this and the advent of the center is complementary rather than substituting. So I think there are lots of opportunities to partner and collaborate.
Hi, Jennifer Hoffman, Ohio State Thank you so much. I wanted to follow up a little. My name is Susan Cole. I'm a faculty member in the Department of Molecular Genetics. I wanted to follow up a little bit on Jill's question, which is I completely hear and understand
your statement that one of the ways that we can show the state of Ohio that we're not who they think we are is to actively support and integrate the center moving forward. But I also know that there is, to be candid, a robust system of curricular oversight and that does think about things like conflict and consensus. And how do we balance the tension of needing to have that robust discussion in order to maintain the rigor and non-overlapping part of your curriculum with not looking like we're doing it for an ideological reason?
That's a great question. And I appreciate to have Randy or others weigh in on the process, which I just frankly do not know much about. What my goal is to get our administrative team hired and then beginning in the next year turn towards crafting our curriculum, especially once we start having faculty along with existing OSU faculty give us input on what that curriculum ultimately looks like. So I don't know what all the processes are. I think it's widely understood by Americans everywhere that curricular processes sometimes result in success and sometimes don't result in success, and so not resulting in success is not, I don't even know if it's prima facie evidence of the process being unsound. Now, I think it could be the case that the process would be unsound. I don't want that to be the case. And I know some of the folks I've talked with who have participated in the process in the past have said that there's a variety of factors that go into it. And so my view is that so long as it seems like that process was a good faith judgment by all the myriad, I don't know who all they are, participants in that process, then what I would say publicly to anybody who asks me would be that this process, even if it didn't give the Chase Center everything that it wanted, was still a sound process.
So, before, as I mentioned before we got here, Trevor and I put together a kind of landscape scan, what's currently going on in courses and programs across the university in this general area, academic area, and presented that to him when he arrived. Simultaneously, we met with the deans of the colleges that are probably going to be most affected, at least, not exclusively, but in the beginning, Arts and Sciences, Law, and the Glenn College, right? This is coming. We want to know how you want to be partners with this. How do you want to proceed with that? And what units inside for the Arts and Sciences, for example, which has many departments inside, which units do we need to be talking to right now about kind of curricular development? So when Lee arrived, he had this landscape. He knew that colleges out there were interested in working with him. And then the next steps, which we're starting to play out now, is talking to those units about what it is that he's trying to do and what he wants to move forward. We had a very good meeting the other day, Tuesday, with all the chairs and directors of the College of Arts and Sciences, nearly 40. Units. And there were good questions like this coming back and forth. That's a unit where curricular, overlap could occur. And so right from day one, honestly, I think that in March, say, if the Senate approves this and it goes forward, we need to convene the academic units that we know already have overlap, or maybe we have not had at the table so far. Let me explain, this is what I'm trying to do. How does that align with what you're doing? This kind of talk was on probably more than you realize, because there's quite a bit of turf, quite a few turf issues between and among colleges today anyway. But it's really getting people sitting down, what is it you're trying to do? Tell me what you want to do. And how does that align with what we're trying to do? And how do we move forward? I know I'll be involved in that, and I think that's going to have an open, constructive kind of process like that right from the beginning. And we also should say that he's not talking about a new sort of curricular activity this year, but it's really next year that we're talking about. So we have some months here to play out the relationship.
Thank you all for coming. I'm Donald Sharkoy. I'm a U.S. Senator in the College of Arts and Sciences. And a big concern of mine for the Chase Center is ensuring that it has a use and ensuring its advocacy, engaging with students regardless of their discipline. So, for example, the College of Arts and Sciences, and I appreciate your comments. Something we think about frequency is the importance of ensuring that students are able to efficiently engage with the colleges in a way that benefits them. And just because of the GE program that all undergrads are subject to, every student at the university undergrad will take a class at the College of Arts and Sciences at least once. So if it is a vision for the Chase Center to be able to engage with students regardless of discipline, which I think it should be given that you're funded by the state and OSU's larger goal of education for citizenship, what is the plan to make sure this is done efficiently and ensuring that the center is providing a useful service for students and the university at large?
Okay.
it's a great question, and I will have to, I think, defer to Randy to some degree and others about how to navigate all of those different categories. So the Chase Center's ultimate goal, so I can share that, right? The ultimate goal is to have a degree in civic thought and leadership. It could be a major, a minor, a certificate, so a credit-bearing certificate, and then also some non-credit-bearing certificates as well as some of the different groups that talked about. And I don't know all the steps to get there, but those are the goals to get there. And some of those courses will be on the GE and some won't. And I'll share a couple of concrete experiences. So many of the centers around the country, what they've experienced is that the majors are not the main attraction for a lot of students. Instead, it's been the minors that have been the main attraction for a lot of students. And what's happened has been, for example, a student, I just met the dean of nursing for the first time, a student will be in the nursing college and then will want, either for intrinsic reasons, so I want to learn more about the American civic tradition, or I want to learn about early 19th century American literature, and the Chase Center offers a course on that, and then we'll take the course for that, for the value of that knowledge. But often what happens is that the students are seeing a professional advantage in taking a course and getting a minor in civic thought and leadership that distinguishes them in the employment market from their peers in a positive way. So those, the minor is probably going to be an area where there'll be a lot of student attraction, and again, I don't know all the ways, the steps to get there, but that will be one of the goals that we have. I wish I had more concrete information, but at this point I personally don't, and that's what the next year and a half process is going to be about.
Hi there, my name is Joe Malinger. I'm a representative of the Interprofessional Council and a student here at the law school. I really appreciate your sentiment in the focus not on our origin, but rather our destiny and the commitment to pluralism. That being said, some of my constituents have expressed a little bit of concern in regards to the current makeup of the Chase Center's Academic Council. Facially, while it looks like there's significant right-wing representation and no representation from the left with ties to organizations like the Goldwater Institute, Heritage Foundation, Ashbrook Center, Federalist Society, will there be any commitment to hiring additional members of the Academic Council to promote that ideological diversity and making sure that left-wing voices are heard?
Thank you for that question. And let me step back just and then answer your question directly. So the way I think about the Chase Center is that its mission is one that can and should be embraced by people of all different perspectives, and I don't mean just disciplinary perspectives, I mean political perspectives. And in my firsthand experience here at OSU, faculty from all different perspectives have had conversations with me about them wanting to partner with the Chase Center. So I'm 100% confident that I've seen it, that the Chase Center's faculty, the Chase Center's students, the Chase Center's student programming and public-facing programming will include different relevant perspectives on whatever the issues or topics are there. The Academic Council is different. The Academic Council was chosen by the Board of Trustees. I've got no control over that. Over that. Any successors to the Academic Council members, I think, are also chosen by the Board of Trustees. Also chosen by the Board of Trustees. So I think there are student members on the Board of Trustees, so I don't want to throw that person under the bus, but that would be the person that I would address that particular concern to. And I'm happy to share it as well next time I report to that committee if that person's on that.
Perfect. Hello, my name is Jeremy Lavoy. I'm an undergraduate senator, and I had a few suggestions as my experience as an undergraduate. The first one is I would love for there to be some student oversight, especially in the genesis of this program. Maybe on the committee, I don't know if that's allowed for university centers, but some survey to make sure that students are getting what they want out of the program. The second is, as a pre-law student, I find it very difficult to interface with the resources that Moritz College of Law has in a meaningful way. There feels to be like a real barrier there, and I'm wondering if the Chase Center could help bridge that gap a little bit, maybe letting undergraduates sit in on more classes at Moritz or talk to professors or something like that.
So thank you for both questions, and the student oversight is a great point. I'm at the point in the conversations now where I'm meeting with lots of different student groups, and let me think about where would be the appropriate place to have student representatives in some capacity giving advice or giving feedback on the Chase Center. So I think that would be good. Maybe the different leaders, the different groups could think about what that might look like. So
just to be clear, and I'm not saying you were saying this, but the Chase Center is independent of Moritz College of Law, and so I think the dean's over there, so you go talk to the dean about anything with Moritz. So what the Chase Center is going to do with the student program, this gives me an opportunity to sell the student program just a little bit, is it's going to be a multi-tiered invitation to students, depending on how much the student wants to invest in the Chase Center. So, hey, I want to come to a program once in a while, you could be at level number one, but I want to take the minor, I want to go on the study abroad program, I want to have a faculty mentor, I want to work on a research and writing project that I later present at the end of the academic year at the student research symposium that Chase is going to host. That's the more engaged level. And so to the extent that students want to have kind of a robust open relationship, that's our invitation. Starting, hopefully, fingers crossed, in the fall of 2025.
Hello. Hi, Sabrina Durso, CGS president. To echo again back to IPC's questions, because I feel like the part of their question that I was more interested wasn't answered, how is the Chase Center right now currently ensuring that there is intellectual diversity on the board that is making up the Chase Center right now, because there are so many right-wing conservatives on that making those decisions currently?
I guess to make sure that we're clear, so the Academic Council, its sole job was to pick the finalists for the executive director, and then the president picked the ultimate executive director. And so they're, other than giving advice, they don't have any further functions. And then the Chase Center really is just me and my assistant. And so we're the group, and one of the things I've done is try to build relationships with lots of people in this room to get advice, and people in this room are from a wide variety of backgrounds. And so I think we're doing that functionally. We don't have a formal category of like overseeing council or whatever doing that. But and to give a concrete example, which I mentioned earlier, which is the assistant director hiring is including people from how many different disciplines. They're coming from history and politics and religious studies and lots of different disciplines, and they're going to give feedback on the different candidates that come in.
This is a follow-up. I just wanted to, are you making sure that when you're within those departments, you're also looking at intellectual diversity? Because some of the departments you mentioned are well known to be very leaning in one way or the other, not that I'm going to name anybody now. So are you ensuring that when you're within those departments, you're also getting people that are from both sides of the aisle there in that case as well? Like, are you approaching chairs? Like, how do you approach going to a faculty member in that kind of way?
So my goal is, I want to build relationships with people who want to support the Chase Center's mission. I don't ask them what their political views are. I don't care what their political views are. My goal is, do you believe in this mission? In what ways can we partner? And so I'm not filtering people in the invitations I send out. It really is, you know, I meet with somebody and they're like, hey, you need to meet with such and such person because they have offered this great class that you might be interested in sponsoring. So that's the organic way in which the relationships have developed. And I assume people are reaching out because they value the Chase Center's mission, and I don't know anything beyond that about their backgrounds.
Can I just add one quick follow-up? Great question, and to your question in the beginning, which are myths that we'd like to dispel, I think one of the things we hope to do, many of you may be wondering, what are these other people doing up here? When this was first passed on by the legislature, the Board of Trustees, and ultimately the Office of Academic Affairs charged four of us with helping to launch the center a year and a half ago. Three of us are represented up here, Randy, Brandon, who's from the Office of Legal Affairs, myself from the Glenn College, and then Ben Kanzik from the Office of Government Relations. Fairly soon after that, we convened an academic advisory council that was internal in the university that had representatives from faculty leadership bodies, some here on the stage, the various units that Randy mentioned that were impacted. That body has met monthly. Lee continues to meet with the four of us weekly and with that body on a monthly basis. So it is a basis for securing lots of input and feedback. So the collaboration that you're seeing here on the stage has been manifest for the whole time. And to come back to your good question about the University of Florida, all of us are very concerned about something like that happening, which is why the university, I think, has taken this very deliberative approach over the course of the last year and a half. Randy, Brandon, and myself reached out to a number of the centers that have been in existence for a long time, gathered as much information as we could about them, and have been tracking the four other centers, one of which was already in existence here in the state of Ohio. I don't want to claim that there is no such place, but we have not found anyone that has gone through this kind of process in standing up this center, which is what we hope will lead to a very positive outcome.
So,
Hello. I just want to make a quick question regarding, my name is Gabriel Guzman Camacho. I'm from Senate from the CGS. My quick question is about the relation that the Senate or the center is aiming to have with the outreach community in Columbus. Because many of the departments center have been working also with the outreach and other people outside of the university campus, right? And that also builds the integrity of the academic, pursue academic goals and academic projects. So my question is, what would be the role of the center regarding the community that surrounds us, especially taking consideration that a great percentage of the community that surrounds us, it is from Ohio, but it's also outside of Ohio. And we're talking about, it says here, American constitutional order and society. Right? And I'm asking maybe from this international perspective, which American? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. So the statutory charge to the Chase Center and the Board of Trustees charge have been in a kind of a tiered mechanism, right? So first is undergraduate education, and then other students' education, and then facilitating this robust faculty academic community, supporting, as I had mentioned earlier, the staff of OSU. So first is OSU, and then beyond that, there's openness about to what degree, if any, does the Chase Center engage Ohio generally. I think the answer is clearly going to be yes. It's not clear, though, where the market opportunities are for the Chase Center. So just to give you one example, one of the ways in which many of the centers around the country that Dean Brown had mentioned earlier have supported the states in which they reside has been to provide continuing education in American civics to K through 12 teachers. So that could be something that we would do. That would be one way in which, among teachers from the state, we could service teachers, of course, in this area. I think there's probably a lot of other ways. So the public-facing programming, I imagine, being something that can benefit people in this particular community. And the one thing I would say, Gabriel, about international students, which I think was mentioned earlier as well, one of the things that I've loved and enriched my education has been comparative studies. And so I would love to have, and I'm confident we will have, students from non-American, non-Ohio backgrounds in our classes who can both enrich and then be enriched in turn by the conversations that develop from those different perspectives about the American civic tradition. So I wanted to affirm the last part that you said as well.
Good afternoon, Russell Mertz at College of Engineering. So earlier we addressed the question around development of curriculum and going through the normal process. It was also mentioned earlier, or suggested earlier, that there was a unique interaction between the center and the O4 rule. And so the question that comes to mind from an informational standpoint, can you speak to is the center exempted from the O4 rule, partially exempted from the O4 rule? What is that dynamic?
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Brandon Lester with Legal Affairs, I deal a lot with the O4 rule. So, generally speaking, what Lee was talking about setting up the rules, things like that, et cetera, is once they become at TIU, they have to put together their patterns of administration, their APT documents, those sorts of things. That's what any TIU is going to be expected to do. The general rules of the university that apply to all other units, like the O4, are going to apply the same way to faculty in the Chase Center. The way that faculty is defined in the faculty rules, I think it's 33, 35, 5, 19, I believe is faculty, right? It speaks of faculty generally. And so the O4 rule refers to faculty and their rights under that rule. That applies to everybody wherever they are, lecturers all the way up to dinner for professors. So that rule is going to continue.
Thank you.
thank you so much for all the questions. I know that we have comments and questions in the chat. I'm glad you didn't know, Professor Strang, that we're like 100 people online also engaged in this discussion. I would have been a little nervous about that personally. But we want to thank you very much, all of you, for your time. What we typically do is we print the chat and the questions and deliver those back to our guests. So if there are any outstanding questions that we haven't been able to address today, there's an opportunity for that. That also might be informative to you. But I am now going to turn it over to our presiding officer, Interim Provost Zadek.
Thank you very much, everyone, for a robust discussion. Any old business? Any new business? I'm trying to think of any new business? Or any announcements? Hearing none, this concludes the business of the University Senate. The next Senate meeting will take place in this room in a hybrid format on Thursday, November 14th,
2024.
January. What did I say? Okay, that is what my script
that's
said.
That's on me.
Thursday, January, whatever, 2025,
we'll
the meeting is adjourned.
No.